The following is brought to you courtesy of the No Phony Podcast Network, home of independent awesomeness.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. Joining me, as always, James Morganti.
That's right.
Joining us tonight, hosts of the Good Wives Guide to True Crime podcast, Fancy Maselli and Christina Alaperti. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your show?
Okay, so we're on season two now. We're about to wrap up season two here in August. We're kind of slugging through the last of it here. Our first season, we did 13 episodes on the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case. If you guys don't know who Gypsy Rose Blanchard is, she's a young lady who, after 23 years of being abused by her mother, being forced to be in a wheelchair, do all these different medical procedures that nothing was wrong with her. Her mother, she suffered from Munchausen by proxy. And so she convinced online boyfriend Nicholas Godijon to go ahead and murder her mom. And we spent 4.5 years now, I think, working on this case. I worked on it for 3 years by myself. I basically got to know the family really well and got to know Gypsy. I requested all kinds of documents, realized I was in way over my head with all the just insane amounts of everything that we had to look at and process with that case. Like over 5,000, I think it's close to 10 by the time that we now have gathered everything, 10,000 medical documents that we've looked at, pages, like it's just insane. So then I got Christina and our other host, Colleen, involved, and a couple other team members, but these are the two that have stayed with me, and we did the podcast together. So 13 episodes of very raw, very emotional craziness, explaining this whole mess of her thing. Then we went on to season two, which is very different. We've been working with, law enforcement and death investigators in the industry, really, really high level ones, people that appear on like CNN and Nancy Grace and Law and Crime Network, like Joseph Scott Morgan and Cheryl McCollum and Stephen David Lampley. So it's been a really interesting ride.
So this is a true story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I used her online boyfriend. Now, yes. Some of the viewers of this show, they know that maybe I, talk to people sometimes online because I'm only a man. what else are you going to do? We're in quarantine. First of all, I'm like, there's like 10 questions. Did she ever meet this guy? Or were they just like sending pics back to each other?
It all started on a Christian dating network.
Those are the worst ones that you gotta look out for. Yeah. No, I love Jesus. I pray every night.
Yes, absolutely. But wow. Like Christina said, it all started on a Christian dating site.
Christian single. Okay.
It was like, what was it?
I think it was Free Christian Dating or something like
that. Yeah, Free Christian Dating.
Always looking for free too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. They got into a very serious, serious relationship immediately. Both led very sheltered lives. Nicholas Godijon suffers from what was originally called Asperger's, now it's called, autism spectrum disorder. He's very high functioning on that. But they met online. They dated for quite a long time before they ever met in person. Gypsy lifted some money from her mother's scams, because her mom, scammed everybody out of everything with all these different things of Gypsy needs this and Gypsy needs that. And so Gypsy lifted some money, sent it to Nicholas, bought him clothes to come down to kind of dress him up and make him look like her Prince Charming, because she was going to go to the premiere of the live action Cinderella movie, and she dressed up full Cinderella dress, everything. They met at this event. Didi was none too happy with him. She didn't introduce him as like her online boyfriend. She like, she just tried to make him seem like some random dude that walked up to her at the concession stand and fell in love with her immediately. They hook up in a bathroom and they have sex for the first time in a movie theater bathroom.
That's on their first date, right?
That's their first date, yes. But they had been seeing each other online for 2 years at this point. 2 years.
Wait, he's been working that for 2 years, and the first date he gets is a movie. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I guess he had a good, you know, he's pretty good live. Because, like, you know, all that buildup, I'm assuming, you know, you get to the movie. What movie was it?
Like I said, Cinderella. She was in full Cinderella costume in her wheelchair.
What year was this?
2013, 24. It's a live action one that came out. I can't remember how, I think it was 6 months before, so it was 2015, because that's when the murder happened. So I think this was like 3 to 6 months beforehand. It's been so long since we've had to talk about it in any great detail that I, you know, there's so much to it that we have lost, like, dates and times and things. I'd have to go through my notes specifically to tell you the exact date. I think it was in March or May.
Are you saying that women that, do you think she probably, you know, was planning on plowing him? This is a family show. You think she was planning on plowing him hard in the bathroom the whole time, like secretly plotting it? Or do you think he had the criminal mindset? Because, you know, you probably have more evidence than I do. Are there feminists out there? It was probably him. Like, are there people that are blaming, it's all Nick, he just probably was jealous of her?
No, to be honest with you, more.
Would never want to do this?
No, to be honest with you, more people believe that she manipulated him the whole way than anything else. He's kind of like, I don't know. If you watch the act, they portray him pretty much as like a bumbling idiot. He is not. He is diabolical. He is extremely scary, extremely evil. Like, the things that he says are just awful, just terribly awful. But
are there any pictures of these people?
Yeah, of course there's pictures. Yeah, you can find, just Google Gypsy Rose Blanchard, you'll find hundreds of them. And she looks like, you know, the good, wholesome little girl that's, God, in a wheelchair and cute as can be. And she's got this squeaky voice and she talks like this. It's insane.
You know what, though? I have some experience with this, not in a weird way or anything, but
you've had sex in a bathroom on your first time? No, just kidding.
And there's girls out there, they're like this, meeting in secret with all their girlfriends. They're like, there he is. Look at him over there, the guitar player. And I'm like this, you know, hey guys, how's it going? And they're like, get over here. And I'm like, over here, oh, you know, and for a girl to pull a guy in the bathroom, I think that would, do you think most women that have sex in bathrooms could be murderous psychopaths? Or is that one of the things that tells someone that's able to do that? Because I'm wondering, is Nick, does he have a thing for girls in wheelchairs? That's actually a sexual fetish, believe it or not.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a huge community of guys that are just, they're probably beta males. You know, they can't really get girls. They don't know how to hit on them properly, you know.
Sure.
They, you know, probably just.
So go for the easy target of the disabled girl is what you're saying. Yeah. Yes.
I dated a girl. She when I was younger, 10 years ago, I dated a girl and she got into an accident, and she was paralyzed. Right. She told me, and the years later, it's a very sad story, very depressing. We won't have to go there right now. But she told me when I would go visit her and everything, I mean, I already dated her for a while, you know, obviously, but I would bring her flowers. And she's like, do you know that there's men out there that are like, hey, you know, pretty bad accident, huh? And they're like, yeah. Oh, it's a family show. But then it's like, oh, your C4 injury? Oh, God. And it turns them on. And they're turned on by these women that are in accidents. But it looks like she might have been faking it the whole time.
She was faking it.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. She's been faking it since she was 7 years old. So, I mean, this all started when she was a baby. Don't get me wrong. I swear to you, you know, she's diabolical in her own way. But it's all because of what her mother did to her. So it started when she was 3 months old. She didn't have a choice in the matter, until much later. You know, so it's a very strange story. And if you, you know, we kind of go through everything with it. We started off very much pro-gypsy when we first began with this story. I mean, we were heartbroken for her. We felt for her. It was very, very, you know, I defended her to the point that I ended up with haters all over the internet, you know, for defending her. And then as we uncovered more and more and more and more, we realized that the story that had been out in the media and told by the Blanchards and her, it wasn't the right story. It was not
true. The best way I can explain it is when I started and I got involved with Fancy and the team, I really thought that Gypsy had no other choice in what she did when she made her decisions. And the more we found out, the more it seemed she knew she had a lot of other choices and this is what she chose. So it was a complete, like a complete 180 on what we felt in the beginning to the end. It was definitely a roller coaster.
Yeah, and when we found out, so we were the very first ones to leak the entire interrogation video of Gypsy. Everybody had seen Nick's. There was 16 or 20 hours of Nick's, some of them just him just sitting there, all this stuff. But nobody had seen all of Gypsy's. Even HBO, they had clips of it, and they had seen it. I know that the executive producer and everything, they saw it, but what they did was they chose very specific pieces to put out. They did not put it out in its entirety. And it created a narrative like of America's sweetheart murderer. And that's why we titled ours, you know, our episodes are titled Gypsy Rose Blanchard, America's Sweetheart Murderer, because that's what they were portraying her as. But when we got that and we saw the whole 4-hour tape, because hers is shorter than Nicholas's because she went to the hospital to be checked out and everything when they found her because they still thought she was sick. So Nix is waiting, you know, they were found in Wisconsin and the murder actually happened in Missouri. So the police officers, the detectives from Missouri had to fly to Wisconsin. So they were waiting all those hours for them. And so she was being checked out. So we get this 4-hour tape, finally get it. I've asked for it for 2.5 years and I've been given the runaround by every single person in the world for why I can't have it. They don't have it. This person doesn't have it. Meanwhile, you know, everyone, they had it. They just didn't want to give it to us because it was a narrative they didn't want out there. Well, I finally get it from the Greene County Sheriff's in Wisconsin, or no, I'm sorry, the Greene County Sheriff's didn't want to give it. I finally get it from the Wisconsin County Sheriff's and they give it to us. And I saw it and I watched 4 hours in shock. Absolutely in shock. And I was crying. I was heartbroken. I called up the girls. I sent it to them. I was like, this changes everything. And we had already started having some breaks with Gypsy because she had gotten another online boyfriend, like through her pen pal system while she's in prison. And we were concerned about this, rightfully so. I mean, obviously the first one didn't go so well for you, darling. Maybe don't do this again. So we'd already had some breaks with that.
Hey, but having sex in bathrooms on the first date, it's not that bad. But,
well,
you know.
But committing murder with the online boyfriend, that kind of is.
Right. So you would suggest maybe a hand shandy on the first date and then go from there.
Sure. I mean, it is a family show, so, you know. But yeah, so that was, then we got this video. We released it on our YouTube channel. It pissed them off to no end. And that was where we had a real break with her and we began to look even more critically at the case. And it really became obvious to us that it wasn't what they had said. And like Christina said, you know, we really thought that she had no other options when she killed her mom. But now that we've looked into it more and more and more, oh, she had many options. She said that she wasn't in contact with her father. She was. She had a secret Facebook page that she talked to him all the time on. And so there was more things to this than anybody knows. So we are the only ones that have come out with the whole, like the whole truth as we can tell, you know. I mean, there's some pieces that we don't have.
All right. Go on, Case. Yeah. I see you got something.
So why did you guys, was your podcast started after the Hulu show, The Act?
Yes.
And why did you choose to do Gypsy Rose as your first season of your show?
Well, I had already been on the case for over 3 years. So when I got involved, The Act had not been made yet. Mommy Dead and Dearest hadn't been released yet. It was coming out when it was released, I think, the weekend or two after I started working with the family. And when I did that, it was because I was in a former group on Facebook, didn't even know those things existed, but had heard about the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case, thought I would start looking into it, found this huge forum on Facebook, was like, oh, these things exist. All right. I did not know that. So I got involved in this group and they were bashing the hell out of Gypsy's stepmother, Christy. And I couldn't figure out why. I was like, good God, why are they attacking this woman? So on a lark, I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know what? I'm a small time filmmaker. I'm not a big time, you know, I'm not going to do anything huge or anything like this, but I might be able to do something to help you guys get your whole story out, you know, because you've only, you know, even in a podcast or even in a 2-hour documentary, you're only seeing a small portion, right? So I'd like to tell the whole truth. And so, you know, they invited me down to visit with them. I went down to Louisiana. I spent time with them. So we had been through all of that before we ever even got to the podcast. We were working on a scripted series, which is still in the works. But because of all of this nonsense with them, because of it changed over time. And, you know, we stepped back from it for a little while. And then we decided we wanted to still really get the whole truth that as we knew it out there in some platform sooner than later, you know? And now, so that's how the podcast was thought of.
Now, how did Nick just look at him? I mean, I don't know if he was looking at this guy, but I mean, you know, he's just a disheveled, you know, weak, obviously nothing wrong with, you know, I love hillbillies, but like, I mean, just like, look at those eyes. He's just like, ooh. But what,
He's a good looking strapping young man. No, just kidding.
Oh, right.
we also left out his alter ego is a 500 or 5,000 year old vampire
named Victor.
Oh, his past life. Oh, he's
no. That lives inside of him right now. There's about 7 personalities that he says lives inside of him, right? And he does not suffer from DID, which is dissociative identity disorder. He does not suffer from that. It is just things that he's made up. He's basically, what he's done is he's given like personalities, names, and personas. So yeah, there's a 500-year-old vampire named Victor that lives inside of him. And Victor is actually who killed Dee Dee Blanchard.
I was just going to say, the vampire? Was there, obviously, vampire killing, like they have their own ways. Did they knock at the door? Because they have to be asked to let in, you know, vampires. You have to knock, you have to say, hi, can I come in? And then when they come in, I mean, was there Jedi mind they don't use Jedi mind tricks, but it's similar.
Glamoring.
How did he kill her? Did he eat her afterwards? Any biting?
Well, no.
What kind of vampire? Yeah.
He did leave a V, and above it, you can see that he wrote in her blood, kill. So he left a V in blood, and above it, it's written like KIL, and then you can barely see the second L, but it's there.
What's the story? Like, how did he kill her?
He stabbed her. So Gypsy procured the knife, the gloves, and the duct tape. They didn't use the duct tape.
You know, women always providing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you know. Right. But remember, she's a disabled girl who never gets away from her mom ever. So, you know, how this happens, I don't know. But she somehow was able to do these things. She got the knife. She got the gloves. She provided it for him. She opened the screen glass door for him. She let him in. Dee Dee was asleep. And he went in and stabbed her over and over and over and over and over again.
And her husband, so they were a broken family, I'm assuming, or his husband wasn't there?
Right. He left her, Dee Dee's husband Rod left her when Gypsy was, before Gypsy was even born. He married her. It was a one night stand kind of situation. They weren't really dating. She got pregnant. But she had actually checked out a book to find out how to get pregnant from the library.
How old was she when this
happened? She was 24 and Rod was 17.
I mean, hey, good for him for getting somebody older, but I mean,
hey, right, totally.
What is it with broken families? You know, I always like, that's where it all starts. And her dad was probably like, oh no, and he probably saw, he got her pregnant, goes like, oh no, I got to get out of here. And her mom's like, oh, another bastard or whatever. And they're like, I just letting families go. You know, there's a
saying. He married her. He tried for 3 months and said, this woman is nuts. I've got to get out of here. And he offered, he said, I'm going to pay for the child. I'll always be there for her. All of that. But she made it impossible for him to be really a part of Gypsy's life. It was very hard. And then he ends up, he gets married to his high school sweetheart, Christy. They have two children, there was a lot of flack from that. You know, she really didn't want him to have a big relationship with Gypsy. So
there's a saying that I think we should all go by once in a while. Just to make, because I'm pro, I wish families would stay together somehow. I don't know how it happened, because broken families are the number one cause for a lot of bad things. If they're good enough to bed, they're good enough to wed, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the same situation, my husband and I, we didn't date in high school. We knew each other. We've known each other since junior high. We got together 4 years after high school. I had been told by every doctor in the world that I couldn't get pregnant, got pregnant on the first time we ever did anything. And my mother-in-law told my husband the same thing. If you're not going to marry it, don't stick it in it.
Right.
She's the same kind of advice. So I guess you're right there,
I mean, just think about it. We've
been married for 23 years, so.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats, by the way. Like, you're doing, that's the God's work right there. But, most people are like, no, I'm more of the, if they're good enough to screw, they're good enough to skidoo or something like that.
I think
that's
what they're saying.
But, it's a family show. I'm all for, plowing good, but, staying there. You know what I mean? Big, I'm very passionate. I love, stay with the person. So, I didn't get, Christina, are you from New York? Because you have a...
yes, Brooklyn. Yeah. I knew the question was coming.
I love the accent. So how did you guys, I don't know if I heard it correctly. You guys just joined together, almost teamed up, combining your strength power. I don't know if you remember the horn of Death Left. It's like, this horn isn't big enough. They have to go like this to defeat, evil. How'd that all happen? And Christina, you're video on. Are you the one that's I'll be the person online and everything, and you be like the superhero, like Green Arrow or something?
I'm behind the scenes.
Right.
Well, it all started with the Facebook group, and when I saw that Fancy was asking for some help, I jumped right in. At that time, I felt the same way. I saw Gypsy's stepmom being attacked, then I started seeing Fancy getting attacked for defending her, and I was like, this is ridiculous. This girl has been through so much, and people are mad that, she's a victim. Regardless of what we think of her now, she was abused by her mother. She had no choice in it. So she was a victim. And I couldn't understand why is everybody attacking these women? So I reached out and said I would be willing to help. And that was about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And we've been together.
And she's been with me ever since. And we went through, what she's simplifying for you is this group that we ended up in is a group that terrorized us and bullied and harassed us on the internet for over a year and a half. And to the point where we ended up with, calling the FBI for cyberbullying. I mean, it was horrible. It was hundreds of them bullying us, saying terrible things, trying to ruin my career.
What was their point? They're like, no, she's just a piece of garbage woman. Probably, not that stupid, but she's probably kind of smart for scheduling and organizing this murder. What would they be?
No, it was Well, it was for me. It was against me because I originally defended Gypsy. It started off because I originally defended Gypsy and Christy, and mostly Christy, because Christy would go into these groups, start a bunch of shit, and then call in me or call in one of her other friends to go in there and try and calm it down. And she just runs her mouth like a crazy person and shouldn't. But so that's how it started. This woman literally came to my page. She introduced herself as another group that was just starting out about Gypsy. She'd love to have us in there. Fine. I went in there. I was like, okay, that's fine. I was helping out for a little bit, coming in, giving information, you know, because I had more information than anyone else had, obviously. And, then the woman basically wanted to be like, she wanted to be in the position that I was in. She wanted to be that person that was doing all this, but she didn't have any idea how to do any of it. She didn't come from that world. She just wanted to be jealous and be angry. And so then she just started attacking me constantly. And my other partner, Tori Johnson, she started attacking us. And so we were like, I don't know what to do. So then Christina had made a comment about something, and she was like, why is this woman attacking you? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know who she is. I've never met her in my life. She just hates me. And so that was how I met Christina. Well, then at one point in time, Colleen, who is our other person on the Good Wives Guide to True Crime and with me on our YouTube channel, Murder by Design, she is a nurse. And so at some point in time, I had originally had a nurse working with me who was Dee Dee's best friend all through high school and junior high. That's the mom. And so she offered to come on to look at all the medical documents, realized that there was just way too much to look at, and said, hey, I need some help. So I put a call out on Facebook. Colleen was one of the four or five nurses that we hired to kind of come on and volunteer to look through this stuff and help us through it. So that's how Colleen, Christine, and I got started. But through this last year and a half, I mean, this woman has done everything and anything in her power to just try and destroy us. Eventually, it was revealed that she's a scammer, that she scammed people out of thousands of dollars. She's done all these different things. She tried to go into another community and try and destroy them with another true crime case. So she's just a crazy lunatic on the internet. But you know that. And so these, that was
what are these part women, of all this. What do these women care about? As long, so they're mad because you were the one that found out that Gypsy was. Even though she had a troubled childhood, like everyone, that she murdered her mom. She's like, no, I want to be the one.
I want to be the one that breaks the story.
Exposing her.
Oh, yeah. And she would tell wild whoppers of, like, things that she would make up that would happen. And I was like, that's not true. That didn't happen. What are you talking about? Or she would say something like along the lines of, okay, so I'm looking at the medical documents because she was given them eventually. This is crazy. Christy, who absolutely hated her from the very beginning. She tortured Christy. She said all kinds of horrible things, tried to say that her and her husband were swingers, all this stuff, like just all kinds of nutty, crazy stuff that even that they probably helped plan the murder. Christy gets mad at me for releasing the video and goes over and starts to make like amends with this woman. So she
Wait,
gives
who's
her-
swingers?
Christy
and- show, we're, you know, hey, we think, you know, there's nothing wrong with the swinger community. I love them.
No, I don't think so either, but.
I mean, I think more swingers should come out and be like, hey, does anybody want my wife? And, like, just throwing people around. I don't know why. It's almost like it's being in the swinger community. It's like, they're like, shh, no, we can't say anything.
We can't say anything. Know? It's when like, those who shall not be named.
It should be LGBTQS, you know, whatever. Like, the swingers are, like, I mean, hey. Come on, man. Right. What? Like, why is that not in there? I always said
right,
that.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But she makes these claims about this stuff. Then Christy gets mad at me and runs to her and ends up giving her, like, inside information, things that she wasn't supposed to give her, nothing. But the woman starts reading through these documents, and she's like, well, okay, so there's seven of the same surgery, so I'm going to count that as one surgery. No, that's not how it works. You don't count seven separate surgeries because they were the same surgery as just one surgery. That's not how this works. I don't know if you know this. If you go to the store seven times, you didn't go one time. You went seven times. If were you have seven people, surgeries, it's seven surgeries.
It's like were a cult. It's there? Like a cult following. The people would be like, yes. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. 17 surgeries, we'll combine them into one. Absolutely. That's
were
perfect.
There, any of these evil women gathering on these websites, were there any of them saying, like, taking so Gypsy was daughter, taking her side and saying, you know what? Her mom deserved to die and get stabbed.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Many, many, we've heard that many, many, many times. And I'm not advocating for death, for murder in any way, shape, or form.
You don't advocate for being stabbed 47
but
times.
I do understand, like, I understand the trappedness that Gypsy could feel, okay? I mean, for 23 years, she was forced to be sick, forced to do all these things. So I do feel that there was some amount of you know, self-defense or justification in some way that you want to look at it in a broken type of way. Do I think that it was the right decision? Absolutely not. But I see where the mentality would have come from. However, that was before I really knew that she had other options. You know, when I'm thinking to myself, well, she didn't know she had these options. She didn't know she could just walk out the door and go somewhere because her mother had dragged her back twice before when she had tried to run and escape. So I understood, I kind of understood, but I don't know.
When did Gypsy find out? You said that her mom started, What's the thing called Munchausen syndrome?
Munchausen by proxy.
By proxy.
So Munchausen syndrome is when you do it to yourself. Okay. Munchausen by proxy is when you do it to someone else.
Okay. So her mom started that when she was 3 months old, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did Gypsy find out that she wasn't sick? Like that she could walk and all that stuff?
Well, it depends on what part of the story she's telling.
Okay.
If you hear her when she first got interviewed and things, she would always say, oh, well, I didn't know. I knew I could walk, but my mom always told me that if I walked too much, my legs would do this or whatever. Or I thought I had cancer. I didn't know. You know, so you hear her say that. And I believe that that is true for some amount of this. But when she testified at Nick's trial, and she testified for Nick, not for the prosecution, which was interesting. Prosecution decided they didn't want to call her. So the defense called her. And when she got up there was two very, very important questions that were asked. One was, how long have you known that you were not sick? And she said, I've always known I wasn't sick. And then the second one was a follow-up question of, well, how long did you know that you could walk? And she said, I've always known I could walk. And I think that was the absolute first time that Gypsy ever actually told the truth in all of this. And I still don't think she tells the truth to this day, but that was true.
So do you think that her mother was mm-hmm. probably one of these women that wanted people to feel sorry? Oh, mm-hmm. feel bad for my, mm-hmm. look at her. And she's like, she's a hurt woman. And like mm-hmm. trying to make people think she's like a victim of some sort of like disease or something like that. Oh, don't you like virtue signal? You know what I mean? Like, look at her. She can't even move. And her daughter's probably there.
Yes.
And she doesn't even know what she's doing. And mm-hmm. probably to get some sort of sympathy mm-hmm. for her
Money.
Daughter, reverse psych, because her mom is like a reverse psychologically brainwashing her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
yes.
making people think mm-hmm. that she's a victim because of her disability, that mm-hmm. way her mother could get maybe money or
yes.
something, or
yeah, well that's part of Munchausen by proxy. Now there's two different things there. That's Munchausen by proxy is where they're doing it for like their own like glory. They're the type of moms that'll make them sick, rush them to the hospital, and then it's like, oh, you're such a good mom for doing all this, or like, you know, oh, you're such a good mom for taking care of such a sick child. Oh, you've given up your whole life. That's admirable. You know, they want to do, it's kind of like for fame, like, you know, for sympathy,
I'm
like you're saying.
Glory.
Now there's, yeah, so, you know, sympathy, pity, all of that. Then it crosses over into something else called malingering by proxy, which is where you're doing it to defraud the people and get money. And so she did both. She did both.
Right. Do you see why, like, I'm sure there's probably guys out there that would see that a woman, like, doing this, exploiting and mm-hmm. lying about the mm-hmm. daughter to make people feel bad. And I'm sure there's a bunch of bros that are just walking, you know, probably on their way to the gym to work out, and they see this thing and, oh, give to us because we need money. And the guy's like, you know, because we here in the show, I don't believe in like everyone deserves a trophy. Everyone's a victim. No, because then you're like, no, you know, why don't you, you know, work, like, get up, start doing something, maybe start living life. And then they're like, you're a terrible person. Well, you're a liar now. Because now people like you make people like us seem like we're right. Or, I was thinking this. So, I mean, you know, on this show, do you think that this guy, not that I'm saying 5G is connected to coronavirus, I'm not saying that, but do you think he was on some sort of psychotropic reuptake inhibitor, those, you know, those pills that like just basically make you go crazy? Again, why I do have a tinfoil hat here that I made. But just to be, you know, careful, I always leave it here. It makes you sleep great. Do you think maybe, aside from her, he was already on drugs, like not on drugs, but like those reuptake inhibitors? I've read almost every shooter in America has been on, almost every single one of the mass shooters, they've been on. It's called serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It's a SSI, I think it's called. Do you guys know anything about that or any drugs he was on? Or?
Well, he was supposed to be on medication, and his dad is one of those people that believes all medication is bad. So his dad took him off of medication.
So he's reverse.
Yeah.
Right, so he doesn't believe in medications at all. In fact, there's like text messages between him and Gypsy where he still believes that there's something wrong with her, you know, and she's talking to him about going with him, and she's like, well, are you, you know, am I going to be able to take my medication? And he's like, well, if you think it will help you, sweetie, you know, I think it's okay, but I really think that you just shouldn't take medication. Like, it's absurd. It's totally absurd. The text messages are they're a whole nother thing. Like, we go through on our podcast, we read through pages and pages and pages of them, you know, in one episode. And it's enlightening, let me tell you. Very
disturbing.
Scary.
Very disturbing.
How do you guys get text messages? Because, like, I think about all the stuff that I've said to women for so many years. I've been single for so long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I realized conversating with a girl, like, you know, maybe you're talking about stuff that might happen if you get together in the car by yourself and the windows, you know, and you're talking about what might happen and you're like, oh yeah. What? And like, if anyone read that conversation, it's the most like horrible thing sounding ever. But in the moment of it, it's like, it makes all the sense in the world. You're like, yeah you would, you know, just throw your face directly down there. Or so, you know what I mean? It sounds so terrible. But
well, you have to understand, okay, there's a level of text messages that are, you know, I mean, flirtatious, or, you know, that is even like, okay, you can even go into sexting, right? All right, that's fine. These go directly way, way, way beyond that. And they're not just sex messages, like sexting back and forth. They are beyond that. They plan the murder for 2 years through text messages. And I mean, deeply planned this murder. And the way we got a hold of them, like you asked, you know, how do you get these? I had access to the entire, you know, discovery file from the defense attorney. I was given all of that by the Blanchards to look at and have. And so they released all of that to me. That's how I got all the medical documents. Gypsy signed a release form for us to have all the medical records that we had, because in the beginning they liked what I was doing, you know, but I originally told them, you know, this is going to be the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Like, I'm good, bad, ugly, I'm going to put it out there. They were like, oh, that's fine. But I really think that they thought, because I wasn't, you know, some huge, you know, filmmaker that made all this stuff, that they could really kind of control the narrative. But I don't think that they realized that I was going to dig as much as I did, that I have this investigative spirit, because I come from a law enforcement family, you know, and so I have an investigative bone in my body. I almost went into being a homicide detective or a narcotics detective at one point. So I've been this way my whole life. I've always watched true crime. I've always wanted to know more. I've always done this. So I don't think they realized that what they were getting into. They just thought I was some nice girl from Kentucky that wanted to tell their story, you know, so they thought, oh, that's fine. She'll do a great job. She'll put all this together. And I, you know, obviously you can tell I'm a talker, so I can talk my way into what I'm, you know, I convinced them I would, and that was fine. I wasn't untruthful, but they just didn't take me seriously in the fact that I was really going to show the whole thing. And so, you know, we had access to everything. We had access to all the medical files, all the discovery files. Now, the only thing we don't have is there is a bunch of stuff that has been being held that the public cannot get their access to. Now, I got more than anybody else, but you can, under the Freedom of Information Act, you can request a lot of court documents and discovery files and things like that in most cases, because it's a freedom of information, you know, that the public deserves to know. Just like we're getting a lot of that for the Lori Vallow case that's going on right now, that's crazy, you know, with the two kids that are missing and the crazy cult mom, you know, so you can get a lot of that stuff. But I had a lot of it, and then I got more than what your average person would be given, because I directly got it from the defense attorney. But there is a bunch that is being held because Nicholas Godejohn is still in appeals. It was supposed to have processed through by June of this year, which is right now, but because of Corona, you know, he's had a delay in his appeal. But when that happens, like, we're expecting that there's going to be release the rest of this, because a lot of the text messages are missing. Like, there's pieces of it that's not there. And I am excited beyond belief for that to finally happen, where we can put all of it together. Because I think once that happens, there's going to be a really, really different story and narrative out there, because Gypsy took a plea. So a lot of the things that we would have seen come out in a trial for Gypsy would have been totally different than Nick's trial. And it would have come out and it would have been totally different. But she was able to suppress all of that evidence because, you know, she took a plea. So until Nicholas's case resolves, we don't get to see all of that.
So did you decide to start your podcast because of how wrong you had all this information? And then the Hulu show comes out, The Act, and you see that it's got a lot of things wrong, and then you decide to...
Yeah, I did 8 episodes with In Touch magazine online. I did a debunking of each episode of The Act, so I did an article.
Christina, we still got you?
I'm still here.
All right, can you finish up on that?
What we had anticipated.
There she goes.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you guys not hear me?
Yeah, we lost you for a second.
Okay. So yeah, so I did 8 articles with In Touch Weekly. So one for each episode of The Act, where I debunked what was in The Act. So basically I explained what was true and what wasn't true about The Act. And we were still working on our series at the time, but we realized that it was going to take a little longer for the series to get out. And we had had so much trouble with Gypsy, with Christy, with all of this by that time. We were heartbroken, you know, extremely just broken and sad. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to do this project anymore. So that was how we thought, all right, we'll just do the podcast. We'll just do a podcast. We'll get all the information out there. It started off as, I'm going to do 3 episodes. Then it became 5. Then it became 9, and it ended up at 13. And I really could have gone, you know, we could have gone 20, 30 episodes and still not touched everything that we know and everything. But yeah, that was it. I was like, you know what? That's it. I'm going to get all the information out there one way or another, at least that, you know. And I thought, well, if we do the podcast, perhaps the podcast will lead to people being more interested in the series and knowing what we know, you know, because we didn't lay it all out there. We laid a lot of it out there, but there's a lot that we still could go into. And so we've gotten people interested in from it that have looked at it and said, hey, it is interesting. We would like to pursue looking at it, you know. But
season
ultimately,
2?
No, this would be an actual TV series, like a scripted series. And then we want to do like an after show talk series that would involve, you know, law enforcement, people from psychology, you know, the psychiatry and things like that, different experts in the field that would come on and talk about different things. So,
right.
So we have
you're not going to have a good looking person play Nick, right? You're going to, because you know, maybe people will go easy on him. They'd be like, well, you know, she kind of deserved it if he looked like Zac Efron. Mm-hmm. No, like, you know, she was really annoying and she was holding, because everyone knows good looking men can do whatever they want. All right. So before we, you know, it looks like we're about to wrap things up. I always ask our guests what's something you can leave our guests with to take home, right? Put in their pocket for later on. And I think that the it should be, this question should be based around, let's say there's a hypothetical guy that might have, you know, sent pics to girls throughout the years on text messages and doesn't want anyone else to see them. How do you get these things, and what's a way that you can delete all these things just to make sure no one ever sees them? Maybe, I don't know. I'm quoting this article I read. It's about some people. Just so people don't use it.
Well, I can say from my experience of what I know, you really can't. So maybe perhaps think about who you're sending it to before you send it. Cause,
oh, good. Okay.
You know, once it's out there, right, it is out there. No matter how many times you push delete, someone can find that. So I don't know. Christina may have better information than I do, but I don't know. That's my
advice. Well, I try to look at it. My motto, you know this fancy, is most people are, I don't know if I can say this, most people are a-holes. So this applies in this situation as well. So before you send that pic, you have to remember most people are a-holes, and eventually that picture is going to get out there. So
perhaps don't send them a picture of your a-hole. I don't know.
I'll tell that to this guy that I'm talking about. you know, I'm pretty sure he's okay, because everyone he knows he's friends with already, because he has a lot of friends. You know, he's just a nice person that answers text messages and gives people what they ask for. You know, so what's something that you can leave our listeners and viewers with that they can take home with them? A word of advice, you know, to keep your families together, please, you know, stay together. Moms and dads, we need both of you guys, are super important to have when raising precious babies.
Well,
to be smart. What's your
well, we have a campaign that we're running right now, and it's really in response to what's going on in our current culture right now, our climate that is happening, with all the hate and the violence and everything that's going on. And it was spawned from a conversation that we had, an interview on our YouTube channel with Murder by Design with Cold Case Research Institute founder Cheryl McCollum. And she is a CSI, so crime scene investigator. She's currently one, and she investigates cold cases as well. And we were talking to her in response to what happened with George Floyd, and then what's happening in response to what's happened with George Floyd. And so basically what we came up with is that you don't fight hate with hate. Love always wins. And so our campaign is hashtag Love Wins, which we are actually working to put a scholarship fund together for a child who is going to college. They can actually send in a 30-second video explaining how they lead with love to goodwivesdish@gmail.com. Explain who you are, you know, a little bio about yourself, what your educational goals are, and your 30-second video explaining how you lead with love. If you'd like to participate and donate, you can go on to our Facebook page at facebook.com/truecrimewives, and you will see a link to our T Public site where we're selling merchandise that says hashtag Love Wins on it and Lead with Love. Portion of the proceeds from that will actually be donated to this fund, and we actually have a GoFundMe on there as well, which all the proceeds from the GoFundMe will go into this. We're trying to raise $5,000 to give to a student. You know, if we raise more than that, then we'll obviously go ahead and have a second scholarship. If it works well, we'll continue this campaign. But that's really my message, is love wins. Don't fight hate with hate, love wins. Christina has something else that she'd probably like to share that goes along with that, though.
Yes, we're also gonna launch an organization that right now it's tentatively called the Gale Force. And thinking about whether Gale Force wins are used to describe like a strong, fierce wind. So the acronym GALE would stand for the Good Apples of Law Enforcement. And normally when we hear any situation where there's something negative done by any law enforcement officer, they're referred to generally as bad apples. So it leaves a lot of people asking, where are the good apples? And we decided to launch an organization that would give a safe platform for the good apples of law enforcement to unify together and take action against the bad apples without the fear of retribution or desertion by their colleagues or superiors. So we're working on that, and you'll be able to read more about it and hear more about it on our website and our social media as we progress with that.
And one of the big things with that too is that we're trying to be a platform for law enforcement to not have a fear of seeking out mental health help, because they see such terrible things every day. And a lot of times it's looked frowned upon. Yes, it's available, but it's frowned upon for them to go and seek out help and say, hey, I've witnessed some stuff that's really fucked me up. I'm sorry, I don't know if I can say that word or not, but it is a family show. So you can either bleep it out or whatever, but it's really screwed them up, and
a lot of times there's definitely a stigma.
Right, it's a stigma that they go and seek out help. So this is what we're working on right now. I guess that's what we can leave your listeners with. Hashtag love wins, and be kind. Be kind to each other. In this time and period right now, that is what we really need. And I think by having meaningful conversations, by sitting down and talking with the leaders within the communities and the leaders within these different organizations, I think that is going to be way, way more helpful than any type of violence or anger or hate out there. So
that's great.
Yeah. And listen to each other. Most people just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make sure you send me all those links that I can post. I sure will.
And they should definitely check out our second season. Besides, we did, like they said, the first season was very raw, very emotional, but our second season has been totally different. It's interesting. We have all the law enforcement people. We have people that are attached to the cases that we've been talking about. So it's really different, and then we have our YouTube channel as well. So
awesome. Yeah. Tell everyone where they can find what's your YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram.
So you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook with, the @TrueCrimeWives. So just Facebook.com, True Crime Wives, Instagram.com, True Crime Wives, all that. And then you can find The Good Wives Guide to True Crime on any major podcast player. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google. But if you want to find our homepage for our podcast, you can go to truecrimewives.buzzsprout.com. And then our YouTube channel is called Murder by Design. So it's youtube.com/murderbydesign. On top of that, we are our own all woman run, full-fledged production company called Mad Ginger Entertainment. We have, we do have a high focus on true crime, but we do also, all of our other projects that we're working on all focus on something that has high social impact. So you're not going to find just your average blood and gut story from us. They're all going to be something that is really impactful and meaningful and makes you think. And you can find us on our brand new website at madgingerentertainment.com.
Great.
Make sure you send me all those. Thanks, guys, for having us on.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, guys. And make sure you send me all those links that I can post on the episode.
Sure. And gosh, this was such an interesting.
I had a blast. You guys are fun.
This is definitely different than what we are normally doing when we do interviews. And so this was fun. And if you ever want to have us back, we are more than welcome. We would be happy to come back anytime.
Great. Awesome. So, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
All righty, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye. Uh-huh. Bye.